today on Real Radio.
You have no power to stop sinning, and so you have to go to confession every week to clean the slate, and the moment you step out into the car again, you start sinning again because there's no power in your life. It's called religion, people. Are you with me? It's a religious relationship with God rather than a personal relationship with God, which is through the Spirit.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How We Grow Up in Christ, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey included preaching the gospel throughout the Gentile world. Their passion was for all to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In the message called It's Always Too Soon to Quit from Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 17, we saw how Paul fell into a deep depression. Many in Corinth rejected Paul's message, and it deeply distressed him. So God delivered him by sending fellow servants of Christ to encourage him. Even in opposition, the Lord will send opportunities to regain our strength and press forward. Now continuing through chapter 19, verse 7, we'll find Paul returning to the places he went on his first missionary journey so that he could in turn strengthen the believers there. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that Paul hears a message from a man named Apollos. He was a well-educated Jew and a gifted speaker. His message, however, was only a call to repent from the teachings of John the Baptist. It wasn't insincere or even inaccurate. It was just incomplete. There was no cross, no resurrection, and no power of the Holy Spirit. And now, continuing in his lesson called How We Grow Up in Christ, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This man, verse 25, had been instructed in the way of the Lord. He had been taught the Old Testament to the max, and he could really talk. Not only that, he was fervent in spirit. The word means boiling. The word fervent in the Greek means to boil. His spirit's boiling. Look what it says, verse 25. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. That's Old Testament. How do we know? Look what it says. Though he knew only the baptism of John. John's message was the last Old Testament message ever given. John the Baptist was the last Old Testament prophet that we have in Scripture. But watch what happens here. Apollos is preaching. He's a strong messenger, but he's got a weak message. His message is just the baptism of John. Hear me out. The baptism of John, well, that had been preached about 20 years earlier. Many years had gone by. Paul is now getting older in life. Things are coming along. I don't think it was about 20 years. It was certainly some years. Paul now is getting older on in life, coming back, his last missionary journey, the third one of his life, final one of his life. He comes to Ephesus. We'll see what happens in a moment. But the thing is, Apollos, who is a very persuasive speaker, is teaching the baptism of John. Listen, great message, but a little out of date. And what was his message? The scripture says that his message was repentance. Listen, Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, that's good. You got to repent to get to heaven. Mark's gospel says that John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Listen to this. He was preaching a message about repentance of sins. So people come and they say, yes, I want a repentance of sin. I want to follow God. And they repent from their sins, but the message of Christ was not being preached by Apollos. He was sincere. He was a sincere vessel. He was teaching out of the Old Testament. But he wasn't bringing them into the new. And the message of repentance is a great message, and you got to have it to get saved. But if that's all you hear, you know what you grow up being? Very legalistic. No, no, no. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. A baptism of repentance, and that's all you know. So if a person sits in a church and hears, you better turn, brother. You better repent. You better repent. And never be given the message of Christ that Jesus is the one who empowers you by the Holy Spirit to go from repentance into grace and into a newness of life, you will forever be a frustrated, legalistic Christian. Do you hear me? Or maybe not a Christian at all. You'll have a works-centered relationship with God. As long as you go and confess, everything's okay. What a horrible world to live in. You have no power to stop sinning, and so you have to go to confession every week to clean the slate, and the moment you step out into the car again, you start sinning again because there's no power in your life. It's called religion, people. Are you with me? It's a religious relationship with God rather than a personal relationship with God, which is through the Spirit. And our culture is inundated with that kind of relationship to God, legalistic. And it's very sad. Repentance, absolutely. It has to happen in our lives. But it's a turning point to come to Christ. Preaching the message of John's baptism. Listen to this. The third thing that we see concerning this instruction of the Scripture is that we're taught to stand on the authority of the Word of God. Look at verse 27. And when he desired, after Priscilla and Aquila brought him aside quietly, instructed him more, it says here that when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. Man, when this guy comes, receive him, he's a good man. All those who had believed through grace. Verse 28, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. What a great guy. This guy was such a great minister of the Lord that later on when he comes to Corinth, people will begin to say, well, I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm of Paul. Well, that's nothing, you guys. We're of Peter. We were going to Peter's church. And in Corinthians, the super spiritual one said, we're none of those guys. We're of Jesus. And those guys were probably the worst ones of them all because it was like super. I'm a Baptist. I'm Calvary Chapel. I'm a Methodist. Big deal. Whenever there's division, by the way, God's not happy about it. Not happy about it at all. We are Christ. If we're born again, we've been brought into the body of Christ. Jesus doesn't take his arm and say, well, you know, these guys are over here, and cuts it off and puts it on the table. And let me see, let me take my elbow off and put it over here. What a horrible thought. We're one. Divisions. But Paul and Apollos were very effective ministers, and they never wished such division upon anybody. But they stood, and Apollos stood, on the authority of the Word of God. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15 to be diligent. Are you diligent? Am I diligent? To present yourself approved to God, okay? How do I do that? Being a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you know how to divide the word of truth? You'll only know how to divide the word of truth by getting involved in studying the Bible. Tuesday nights in the Bible classes and studying the inductive Bible study method. That teaches you how to rightly divide the word of truth. That will keep you from error. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify, set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts, and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks of you the reason for the hope that is in you, that you have. And do this with gentleness and respect. Can you give somebody an answer? Are you a Christian? Yes, Jack, I'm a Christian. Can you give them a defense for why you believe what you believe? You need to be able to stand on the authority of the Word of God. That's what Sundays and Wednesdays and your devotional life and Tuesday nights and whatever night and day and everything's about. Can you do it? When the precious Mormons knock at our door, what do? Do you draw the curtains? Like, shh. You are not rightly dividing the word of truth and giving to everyone an answer for the reason, for the hope. That you ought to open the door and say, I've been expecting ya. Watch their eyes. You have? Yeah. Did somebody tell you about us? Sure did. Who did? Jesus in the Bible. Oh, yeah? Yeah, and I want to talk to you about it. Can you lead them? You got to be able to do that. Well, I don't know if I can, Jack. Well, then get it down now. Start working on it. Find out how to give people the reasons for your hope that you have. Very important. Apollos was schooled more accurately and was able to give a more accurate gospel. Now watch this. Boy, we're going to go quick, and I'm going to confuse you, I'm sure, like chapter 19, verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, listen, came to Ephesus. That's where he had been preaching the baptism of John. That's all. You with me? Apollos preached in Ephesus the baptism of John. Paul comes to Ephesus on the heels of Apollos. Watch what happens. He passed through the upper regions and came to Ephesus, and finding some of the disciples, look at verse 2. He said to them, or asked them, look at this, underline it in your Bible, very strange. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Why did he ask that question? He was a doctor making his rounds. Paul showed up at Ephesus and he said, well, there's a lot of believers here. Boy, are they dead? How do I know that? Paul says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He's not denying that they're believers. They believe. But are they born again? There's volumes written about, they're not born again yet and all this stuff. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know the answer to that. But all I know is these guys believed on the message of John the Baptist and that Christ should come. Are you with me? Paul shows up with his clipboard and goes from room to room and he says, man, you're not healing up very well. I don't even know if you've got a heartbeat. He calls everybody together and he says, have you received the Holy Spirit since you've believed? And look what their response is. And they answered and said to him, we have not even so much as heard as there even is a Holy Spirit. Well, then what baptism were you baptized into anyway? Into John's baptism. Look at verse 4. Then Paul said, John indeed. Okay, good. That's good. John indeed, yes, rightfully so, baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him, Christ, Messiah, who would come after him, that is after John, that is Christ Jesus. Okay, and they all went, okay, fine. Great. It says in verse 5 that when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now watch this. Some denominations are going to say, were you baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And you might say, I don't remember. Oh man, then you're in deep trouble. Then there are some, if you get baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and walk out of the ocean and stand on the shore, and somebody walks up and says, wait a minute, were you baptized in the name of Jesus only? Because you know there's a denomination that says you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus only. Well, gee, I think I was underwater. I didn't hear him. I don't know. I think he said, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Oh, man, are you in trouble? Because it's got to be in Jesus only. So look, today, we have a baptism today. And we know that people have different views. Honestly, I don't care. Jesus tells us about baptism in Matthew 28. And the scripture does say, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No problem. So what we do is when we grab you, take you in the water, I'm going to tell you right there, I'm going to say now, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And they go, yeah. And I say, great. In Jesus' name, amen. And you baptize them. So when they come up, somebody asks them, how are you baptized? The right way. All of the above. Give me your argument. What, was it in Jesus only? Yep. Oh, wait, did I just hear you say Jesus only? Well, I say Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Yep. Well, how'd it happen? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. And down they go, safe. Base is covered. Isn't that great? How do we grow up in Christ? Well, by receiving the Holy Spirit. First of all, you may be churched, but you may not be born again. You believe in God. So do the devils. James chapter 2. The devil, it says that the devil believes in God and trembles at the thought, yet he's not going to heaven. Do you believe in God? Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and rose again from the dead? You see, Apollos' message left behind many people who had an incomplete gospel. And that incomplete gospel led them to a very weak and struggling walk. Where is your walk today? Is there power in your walk? Number one, you may not be born again. You need to receive Christ. Then you need to be baptized in water because it's a public display of an inward commitment that you've made today or last week or last month. And don't be surprised, though it doesn't always happen this way, that coming up out of the water, you are sovereignly baptized with the Holy Spirit in that moment. Happened to Jesus, didn't it? In the Gospels, Jesus comes to the scene. John the Baptist baptizes him. Jesus comes up out of the water, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came and descended. What does it say? Does it say that the Holy Spirit came and descended in him? No. The Holy Spirit descended upon him. And here is an important doctrine that is being taught here in this text. If you are a Christian, according to 1 Corinthians 12, I think around verse 13, the moment you accepted Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came inside you. The Bible says at that moment you were baptized, listen, into the body of Christ. You became a member. That's why we don't have membership here at Calvary Chapel. You, if you're born again, you are already a member. There's only one membership in the Bible. That's being baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. You with me? Everybody okay? The second thing is, the Bible teaches, Acts chapter 2, in fact, book of Acts, certainly here in 18 and 19, that the Holy Spirit can come and should come upon you. Totally different Greek preposition. When Jesus comes inside you, it is the word en in the Greek. It means he comes in, never to leave you or forsake you. The second thing is that he comes epi. He comes upon you for power. And it's available to every Christian. Write this down, though you may already know it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine where there is dissipation. I love it. It's a sarcasm. What do you get drunk with wine for? It wears out, leaks, dries up. You sober up. But rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the word means be being over and over again with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. How do you know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Look what happens in verses 6 and 7. And when they had laid hands on them, when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They're already believers now. But the Holy Spirit came upon them. So what happened? They spoke with tongues and prophesied. Oh no. Hold it. If the Holy Spirit comes upon me, do I have to speak in tongues and prophesy? No, you don't. In the book of Acts, it is often, more often than not, that what's recorded, they do speak in tongues. But do you have to? No. First of all, you're not going to do anything you don't want to do. Second is, you're not going to necessarily prophesy either. They did here in this case. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you want the great sign of the Holy Spirit on you and in you is in life, is love. Well, man, I just want to have enough faith to move those mountains, brother. Well, that's fine. But how's your love department? Love is the true manifestation of the Spirit's presence. Oh, man, let's go over here. They speak in tongues. Well, why don't you go over there? They love more. Why chase the peripherals when you should pursue love? Why get caught up in all that stuff? Jack, are you saying that you don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit? I believe in every one of the gifts given in the Bible. I believe in every one of them, and I believe they're active today. But I only believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are listed in the Bible. Did you hear what I said? Very important. I believe they're all active. I just pray that love would be the most active, the most prevalent. In this case, they spoke. They spoke in a tongue and they prophesied. It didn't mean, well, you know, tomorrow's going to be 93. That's not the prophecy. It means they herald forth the teachings of God, the Word of God. They went out being like evangelists. So listen carefully. We'll wrap this up here. The baptism of Jesus is with the Holy Spirit. There are many baptisms listed in the Bible. The baptism of Jesus is with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is salvation. And they're different. Some of you are going to say, are you talking about what's called the second blessing? Yeah, I guess that's what I'm talking about, if you have to put a label on it. Many of you have come to Christ, and you're born again, and you're going to heaven, but you have no power in your life. And you need that power in your life. These men heard an incomplete gospel. They got born again. The Spirit of God comes in them, and then Paul lays his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit descends and empowers them into the world for ministry. Is that happening in your life? If it happens, look, this is first service, the least populated service right here, right now. If it happened to just us here, it happened to 12 guys in verse 7, but just us here, it would revolutionize the state of California. And I'm not exaggerating, because 12 people changed the world when the Holy Spirit was on them. Why did Paul even ask the question? That ought to drive you nuts. You guys believe? Yep. Well, then, were you baptized by the Holy Spirit? Or we haven't even heard of such a thing. Well, that explains why on my chart you look dead. Remember the congregation of Israel? Ezekiel looks out in his vision, and there's all a bunch of dry bones. God tells Ezekiel to start speaking to the bones. You know, you can go to a church and preach a mess. I do not like guest speaking. I can't stand it, to be quite honest with you. You know why? Because you guys have spoiled me. But then I go somewhere and you'll be talking and they're going, who is this jerk? And it's just so different. I don't like it. I like to stay home. And sometimes you go to places and you go in there and you start checking the pulse. I like to sneak in there and set my Bible down and just start walking around. And ushers start chewing on you. And you know. And then you walk up there and they go, oh, man. That happened the other day. I went somewhere and I won't tell you where. But I was supposed to speak and I set my Bible down and this guy starts kind of chewing on me about something. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just, oh, man, okay, all right, you know? And so I started speaking, and then you could just see the guy going, oh, man. But you go and you feel a pulse of a church or of a fellowship. When the guest speakers come here, they always feel your pulse. And they always leave neat notes about your pulse. Vital stats, doing fine. Paul says, man, you guys need it. And so Ezekiel looks at the Israel coming together, and all the bones come together, hip bone and shoulder bone, and there's a skeleton standing there. And then flesh comes on it, and God's talking to Ezekiel, and it's still dead. And it would not come to life until the ruach, or the pneuma, pneumatic in the Greek, the wind, the life of the Spirit came inside the body, and then was the body active and able to minister. Because the Holy Spirit came upon and took possession.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How We Grow Up in Christ. Thanks for listening. And to experience the need for Christ and to grow into the likeness of Him is God's greatest pleasure. How We Grow Up in Christ is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, many of us have a lot of questions and opinions about the culture of our day, especially here in California. How can we give an answer for the reason of hope that's within us? And how can we give a biblical worldview of what's happening right now, when so many are becoming so combative? One way is to subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel and watch his Engage the Culture series. In this series, Pastor Jack gives an answer to some of the most controversial questions we as Christians are facing today. That includes, what does the Bible say about feminism, transgenderism, gun control, border control, and abortion? Many will reject the truth, but like the Apostle Paul, God will strengthen and encourage us through the power of the Holy Spirit and through fellowship with other believers. Together, the more we know, the more our influence will matter. So take a look at Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. There are so many videos to choose from to help you grow in the Lord. And when you subscribe, don't forget to tap that notification button for the latest videos as they become available. You can also access his YouTube channel from our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.